Hi, my name is Giselle and this is my podcast Smells Like New Talent. In this podcast I will talk to multiple upcoming musicians about them, their music and their future visions. If you're looking for new music, this is the place to be. This episode, James Burkey. And James, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Good. Cool to
Doing
be here.
Fine as well.
Cool. You're the guitarist of the band. James, you're the singer. Yeah, tell me a bit about the band. James Burkey, who are you? What music do you make?
Yeah, well, we're an indie rock pop band from The Hague, the Netherlands. And we just released our first record, and it's really cool having the music out there. And we make like fast, upbeat, catchy pop songs, basically with like a 90s punk attitude with a lot of 80s synthesizers.
Sounds good. So how did you both get into music? Maybe Jure, let's start with you.
Oh, well, that's a long time ago. I guess since a long time ago, I was interested in bands and in music. So I started playing guitar at a young age and was very interested in singing as well. So yeah, always was involved with that and had some couple of bands from a young age as well. Yeah, and then a few years ago, found James because we live in the same area. And yeah, so he was already making music with this project and yeah, actually joined later. And yeah, since we've been making music, we've been forming a little bit more as a band, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So for me, like starting out making music, when I was growing up, I grew up in a household of like musicians. You know, my dad's a musician and my brother's a musician, and I had like a complete aversion to music. I didn't care for it at all. Oh. Like I didn't want to play guitar. I didn't want to play drums. I didn't care for it at all. Until one day I heard one song. It was a Green Day song. It was Good Riddance. I heard the song and I just like broke down. I cried. I was like, oh, that's such a pretty song. And from that point, I was like, oh man, I need to do that also. I really wanted to learn how to play that song so I can make other people feel that same way I felt about that music. So I started playing music and I took 1 month to learn the four chords on guitar. And then I actually never like played another cover. I just started writing songs from then. So that's like the main thing that we do is just write songs and like make productions. Yeah. So that's how I got into music, is that one song.
So you prefer making your own music, above, doing covers?
Yeah, it's fun doing covers. Like every now and then when we play with the band, we just like shoot out like a Blink-182 song. I know Jure started out playing a lot of Blink-182.
That's
with
true.
His old band.
That's true. I think we played mostly covers with my old band and then after a while started writing a few songs and incorporated those. But the set mostly existed out of Blink covers and other pop-punk covers at first. But yeah, I guess it's a healthy way to get into music as well, to just learn what others have been doing and try to find your own way in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, James, you started this as a solo project. Is that the reason why the band is called James Burkey?
Well, yeah, like indirectly it is. Directly it is, but we all like sort of sat around because I think the band has really started like in 2019. So I found sort of a voice back in 2017 and I found sort of a sound. And that's like more or less still kind of the sound we hold on to. But a very important part of it is that we really want to branch out into different paths and different types of genres of music. But I started out as simply James Burkey. And then all of a sudden I got these great band members who all were really invested in the music and in like playing together, like also genuinely as friends. And we made the decision to actually form a band instead of like having one person do all the things. And we sat around and I said, like, you know, do we want to change the band name? Is that something we want to do? And we all just sat around, like, it would still be a really cool band name, even if James Burkey wasn't your name. So we sort of decided, like, okay, then the band is not called after me. My name, I'm called after the band, yeah. Right? So, yeah, it started out that way, but it's taken a different meaning.
Cool. And is it like, are you the boss of the band, or are the other band members also allowed to say something?
I'd like to say I'm the boss, but I'm not. No, it's like really, it's really a democracy. Like all of us really chip in, and all of us have our parts. Like making music is so much more than just the instrumentals and just the vocals and performing. Like there's such an organization to it. So like doing all of it is so like important. Like everyone has their own role in it. So I might like really take on the production, but we all chip in on the songs.
Yeah.
And we also take like a different roles in outside of the music aspect. So whatever needs to be done, if we need some well, shows handled or something else, we all need to do our part. And yeah, we're all chipping in equally, so I guess that's the foundation of it.
Yeah. Cool. So, and how does that writing process go then?
Well, that's interesting. Usually, up till now, I just come with demos or songs. But, like, it's always different. Every song is so different. I might, like, start a tune off on the acoustic guitar. We might start a tune off in the rehearsal space. But, like, the thing we're best in is doing a production first. So like finding a color, finding a sound while recording the music, while writing it. So like a song like High With Me, which is our second song of this record, is a song that had a total different vibe and sound and just evolved over the time of a year. So I'd like to give a straight answer, but there's no straight answer. I'm sorry.
Do you do everything with the four of you, or are there also other people involved in the creating process?
Oh, that's a good question. I think every now and then, like, people chip in, because I just make music with a lot of people. And sometimes it's just like, oh, listen to this demo or whatever. And someone might just play a single note that just might be in the right spot. So I think it's pretty off the cuff. But like with the band, it's like we try and keep like everything together and do everything together. So now and then someone might chip in. I think High With Me has a saxophone in the bridge for like 8 bars, which is ridiculous. And like for mixing, we work together with other people.
And I think that's also good to have some input from the outside, other people, because you can be in a bubble or something with your band. And if you hear a song over and over again, and another person will hear something different, maybe.
Definitely, yeah. Well, to be fair, I think we kind of like our bubble. we're kind of like safe in it, but it's definitely true. Yeah, like we work like on a lot of songs at the same time, and it's kind of easy to lose track of it all. But I think that's healthy. Like at points you don't know what you're doing, and at point you have all the handles on it, you know.
Yeah
And I guess within our band we also have different views and different optics about the song. So I guess when James comes to me with a song or a part, then I can also vouch my opinion on it. And yeah, maybe it will take a different direction or not, or, you know.
At least, you know, if you didn't make like a concrete change, at least you established that it's the right thing to do. You know, like you tried all the options after tackling it with more than one person.
Yeah.
Exactly. My headspace only goes as far as what I think is cool. And sometimes, like, I'd have an idea, and I think it'd be the coolest shit ever. And then I'd come to it with Yula, and he's just like, yo, your vocal's totally off. I have no idea what you're trying to do. And so, you know, I might be so enamored with an idea that I just sort of get excited just by having made that part and not really seeing out what it is really. So, like, it's good to work with four people instead of one.
Yeah. I think the music you make is music that will really work live, a lot of energy, big choruses, etc. Is that something you think about when writing a song?
I guess the songs can start out with the production mostly. So in the beginning, maybe there's not a lot of thought to the live space, but we always bring the songs to the rehearsal space. So we know directly if it works or not.
Yeah.
And there have been a few times that a song has been brought to the rehearsal space and yeah, we played it and it just didn't sound like it should. So yeah, then we had to make some changes or just don't play it live, but we haven't done that yet. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think like when making like these big anthemic choruses is like if you go to like a live show, at least, you know, for my type of music and type of music that I like, if you go to a live show, you want to be like, what's the word, like totally blown away.
Yeah, exactly.
And have this feeling of like, oh, we're all in it together, like this is not just like the stage and the band, but this is like one feeling, like one wavelength everybody in the room is feeling right now. I think those choruses really do that. And it's the music we grew up, man, grew up on. Like, I think that's like the thing that we do these 90s punk rock type of choruses, where we combine it with all these totally over the top like 80 synthesizers and drum beats, you know, and combining those, like the catchiness of those 90s punk rock choruses and the 80s type of synthesizers, it's sort of our thing, you know. 'Cause now I know the dream can feel like anything at all. It seems it's just 'cause I think it's my God.
And how do you experience playing these songs for a crowd?
It's hard, man. But it's a lot of fun. Like, once we get the sound right, then it's really cool. Mm.
I think it varies, actually. Like, the one show, you can really see people connect with the music and, yeah, actually feel something. And there have also been times that I've clearly seen that people have not been connecting with the music. And yeah, I guess that's something for us to reconsider per song, and but also to just, I guess, bring to the environment. Maybe we brought a different vibe. Maybe the audience brought a different vibe. Maybe it was a stage. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's obviously not like small bar music. I mean, it's not like we're. I mean, the shows that we played, like one of our first shows was the Life I Live Festival. And like straight off the bat, that felt like the perfect spot for us. Mm. Like there were so many people and it was totally crazy and everyone was partying and we still sucked, but it was perfect. You know, it was the best place. We only played like five songs and I got off that stage with like totally like a great feeling, you know?
Yeah, true. And I also think if we have played some bars, like for example, when we went to Eurosonic in Groningen, we played a show very late at night in a bar, and it was a really cool show. Okay, mostly because people were drunk, but I think it played a part. But yeah, but still, everyone was very energetic, and we were energetic. I don't know, so it can work. But yeah, I agree that mostly the songs and the show is meant for a bigger audience.
It's funny though, like we played Eurosonic it's January. It was last January. And we had like three shows that day. And the one show, the last show of the day was like, what was it? Like 12:30?
Like, yeah, something like that.
And it was like, we went to that show like, okay, we're going to like mess this place up, right? Like we knew everybody was going to be drunk, and we know like the sound wasn't going to be good. So we sort of set our minds to like, okay, like let's forget the type of grandness for just a minute, and let's turn on those punk rock roots, which also like, to me, that was like how I wanted to play that show. And oh man, what do you call like a Polonaise in English?
I don't know. Yeah, it was something.
It was a lot of fun, but it goes to show like there's a place that's fit for us, but it's a challenge to play every type of venue there is.
Yeah, and well, you made a playlist on Spotify called James Berkey Essentials with tracks in it that inspire you. I see a lot of the band Camino, the 1975, 5 Seconds of Summer, but also artists like Katy Perry. In which way does she, for example, inspire you?
That's oh, a good man. Question. I love Katy Perry. No, like it's just the poppiest of the poppy, man. And it's like, there's no going around that. It's just, if there's a formula for pop music, you can find it there. And there's something special to be had with that. There's no part in those songs that's like not important to the song. And every part of the song would be catchy. Like, for instance, let's say, I don't like the band necessarily, but take Nickelback, right? Mm. Every part of that song could be the chorus, if you ask me. And same goes for all those Katy Perry songs.
Yeah, true.
And there's something to be said for that 2010 type of production where they just figured out like what would eventually be the production we have now, but they didn't really have the sound right yet. So it sounds sort of cheap all around, and I kind of like that.
But I actually think if you incorporate our choruses that we have right now in a Katy Perry song, it will work. And also, our newer songs maybe how do you say it? Geared towards being poppy a little bit more. So I think you'll hear it more clearly in those newer songs as well. But even the punk rock type songs, the band songs, I think they could work as a true pop song.
Maybe Katy Perry should cover you sometime.
Katy Perry should cover us.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah, come on, Katy.
Let's do it. She will probably listen to this podcast, I'm sure.
Give it some time. I think she will.
Yeah. So what does Stan lyrically inspire you? Because this is more about music, I guess, about instruments. And what about like the lyrics?
Well, it's interesting. Like the record's called Dreaming. And it sort of like harks back to that first moment I was talking about when I started making music. I started making music because I felt so much in that one moment.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, it became an ambition to actually be able to make music. That from that point on was a dream, right? So it became a dream to be able to write a record and produce a record. That given with that, all the subjects on the song are about dreaming and being ambitious and also being rambunctious and young, you know. Every song on the record is basically a different take on the same principle, just in a different setting. And from that point on, like this first record is also a testament of what's going to come, like the future, you know. So for this record specifically, it's all about ambition, and it's all about really like wanting a lot and being able to fight for it.
Yeah. And you can hear that back in those songs. For example, Brother Will Had to Dance is one song on that EP. But it's a new version. It's a remake on the EP because you released it earlier in 2017. What's different?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a bit more of a band sound. and we just got we became better producers. Like, we became better songwriters and better arrangers. So the rest of the record was like written a lot, like produced a lot later. So we just figured, like, the old version has like a really still drum beat, and the vocal was way too high, and I couldn't really sing that good at that point. So we just figured, like, to be able to fit the rest of the record, we really wanted to re-record it and just get the things right that we just didn't the first try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it just needed a new layer of paint. I don't know if that's an expression you can use in English, but...
So I was looking on your Spotify page and I saw you have the most listeners in this place called Sea Caucus. I looked it up. It's a place in New Jersey, close to New York. Is there any reason for that?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Me neither.
I used to watch a lot of Jersey Shore, but I don't think that has anything relevant to it. I don't know. It's sort of interesting. Like, you don't know where your music ends up on. I mean, I got this like phone call from a radio station in Aruba the other day. We're just like, "Oh, we heard your song, brother. When are you gonna play it?" So it's like, how does that get there? I have no idea.
Well, it's pretty cool, I guess.
I guess.
So maybe a bit of a different question, but do you like playing games?
Oh yeah. Well, you want to start this one off?
Because yeah, of course.
I came up with this game that I play every episode with the artist in that episode. The game goes as follows. I have a list of this or that questions, and it's up to you to answer as most of them in 1 minute. So, for example, I say pop or rock, and you have to choose one of them as fast as possible. So
that's fun.
All right.
Is there one of you that wants to try to beat the other artists?
Yeah, I want to try. I can do this.
Okay. So can we, like, are we both going to do it but after one another, or?
That's also, do it.
Oh, you just start off, Jürgen, and maybe I get another chance after.
Okay, all right.
Let's do that. Okay, I start time now. Live music or Spotify?
Live music.
Imagine Dragons or Bastille?
Well, I don't know what the second one was, but the second one.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Lyrics or melody?
Melody.
Upbeat or mellow?
Upbeat.
Your song played on national radio or 100 extra streams on Spotify?
Song played on national radio.
Triangle or the accordion?
Yeah, the first one, a triangle.
What?
Liam Payne or Niall Horan?
What was the first one?
Liam Payne.
Liam Payne.
Play music or listen to music?
Play music.
Tens or zeros?
Zeros.
Coachella or Glastonbury?
I don't know. I've been to neither. Glastonbury's, I guess.
Chorus or verse?
Chorus.
Make music or play a live show?
Play a live show.
Headphones or speakers?
Speakers.
Old music or new music?
New music.
Front row or in the crowd?
In the crowd.
And time is up. You got 16 answered questions. That is second place, because on first place with 18 questions was Jason Waterfalls, but you got 16.
Damn.
Do you want to try, James?
Do you have new questions? Is it going to be the same questions?
I have some more. So
I need to beat Thijs, probably?
Yeah, Nepal.
Okay. And how many did you have?
18.
Right. Yeah, he had 18, yeah.
Well, listen, you got to work with me. You got to be fast, okay?
Okay, I'll do my best.
Let's go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Pop or rock?
Pop.
Concerts or festivals?
Festivals.
The Rolling Stones or the Beatles?
The Beatles.
Intro or outro?
Intro.
Dance or sing?
Sing.
Festival tent or open air?
Open air.
EU tour or US tour?
US tour.
Wembley or the Royal Albert Hall?
Wembley.
Dua Lipa or Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish.
Electric or acoustic guitar?
Electric.
Bach on guitar or Metallica by choir?
Bach on guitar.
DJ or band?
Band.
Fender or Gibson?
Gibson. Fender.
Taylor Swift or Selena Gomez?
Taylor Swift.
Guitar or piano?
Piano.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Headphones or speakers?
Speakers.
Old music or new music?
New music.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Lyrics or melody?
Melody.
Upbeat or mellow?
Upbeat.
Play music or listen to music?
Play music.
And the time is over. I have to count how much you had right.
Okay. I got one question two times there.
Yeah. Don't tell her.
I ran out of questions. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. You definitely are first place. I don't know exactly how much you had, but you're first
place.
That's
great. I got to prepare though, so it wasn't really fair. I was like mentally like, let's get it, you know.
Well,
but that's fun. Nice going.
Okay, a little interruption from me. I'm editing this podcast right now, and I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that James has answered 22 questions, so he's definitely first place now, and we will see if someone can beat him one day. So, earlier, you had a question, song played on national radio or 100 extra streams on Spotify. You said being played on national radio. Is it still an important platform for upcoming musicians?
Yeah, I think so. It brings a lot to of new listeners to you, and well, the comparison with 100 streams is just very easy. Yeah. If you would have said like 100,000 streams or something, then it would have been a hard question, I guess. But there's no question that your song played on national radio will bring you a lot more than just 100 streams.
Mm. So your first EP is released. What's next?
Our second EP. No, like we really want to just put out a lot of music. Like that, the world's kind of on its head right now, and everything's changing month by month, you know. So we want to try and place like shows again, but we just got to see how.
Yeah.
Our thing is making poppy music and producing it ourselves. So we're trying to figure that out. And if I'm like, if I'm right, it's July now. It comes out in July. So we're going to have a feature out with an artist called NCT.
Oh, cool. I don't know.
On the 10th of July.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So it's going to be released on the label No Copyright Sounds. And it's like really exciting. It's the first time we work together with another artist. It's something we really work together on. It's not just a track that he wrote where I sung on. It's actually like we worked on it, both of us. So it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for it. It's like a really cool combination of drum and bass and punk rock, which are like two brothers basically.
Yeah. And how was it to work together with another artist?
It was really easy. We actually like made this song before like the band was what it was now. So I just got the message, like we only had the first song out, and he said to us like, yo, I heard your song Brother, and I think it's really cool. We really need to write something together. And I said like, okay, well, you're a big artist and I really like your stuff. You have a song with an artist that I love, and that's crazy that you hooked us up. Like, so I grabbed my laptop, I canceled every appointment I had that evening, and I went and wrote the song, which eventually became Hold On.
Cool.
I sent it to him, he liked it, and we worked on it together.
Yeah. So when was it released?
10th of July.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Last question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you want to be then?
Ooh,
well, a difficult question. Well, that's a hard question to think about. 5 years from now is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, of course, like the easiest answer is we all will have grown as persons and as musicians, I guess, and as a band. Mm. Hopefully evolved into some newer areas, worked together with some neat people. Hopefully, a much larger fan base than we have right now. Although we are very thankful for the people that support us already right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess just on to more and bigger and better things.
I'm going to say that without any basis, but I'm going to say 3 EPs and a full length. Okay.
Okay.
5 years from now.
Well, then yeah. I'll talk to you again and we see what happens.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It was a lot of fun.
It sure was. Well, I'll speak to you soon, I guess.
All right. See you soon.
All right.
Bye.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the 3rd episode of the Smells Like New Talent podcast. If you are an upcoming artist and want to be featured in the next episode, please DM me on Instagram at smellslikenewtalent or send an email to smellslikenewtalent@gmail.com.